And and we'll be with verse 13 through 16. We have been dealing for some time. I think this is about the eighth message in Hebrews chapter 11. This is the seventh of the different groups that we have dealt with. Had Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, the different ones that have been mentioned thus far. And so we are verse by verse going through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is called God's Hall of Fame. And these that are mentioned, especially in verse number 2, is sort of where we got our beginning thought. We're dealing with the elders that obtained a good report. And to get a good report in God's way, in God's time, is to have to exercise faith, to have faith in the things that the Lord says. And so we're dealing with this faith chapter, and tonight we'll be in chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. We have looked at Abraham, and then last week we looked at Sarah and her childbearing, and then tonight we will be looking at those that are called these. Not necessarily named, that refers back, but he talks about these obtained, had a good report. So let's look in verse 13 tonight. We'll read these verses. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they have a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He hath prepared for them a city. Now tonight we look at the ones that are called these. I believe we find that Abraham and Sarah are referred to back in that word these, and most people that I have read and looked in these verses and commentaries, most of those Bible scholars include Isaac and Jacob in this little word of these, because they're mentioned later. And of course, they're connected closely to Abraham and Abraham's faith. And so, tonight we'll be looking at these verses, 13 through 16, and be dealing with this people that are not necessarily named again, but are referred to in these that are before us. We find here that they perceive themselves as pilgrims and strangers in verse number 13. They were looking for a place. They were looking for a city. They was looking for a country, and they did not obtain that. They did not find what they were looking for at that moment. Of course, they did find it in the heavenlies. And so they were considered as pilgrims and strangers. They were going to and fro. They had no permanent place of abode, and they were seeking a country, a better country. And as we read there in verse 16, they were seeking and looking for a city. The Scripture says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And the Scripture tells us here that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They had the promise, but they did not receive the fulfillment of that in this life. And so tonight we'll look at these that had such great faith, and the faith that they possessed in their life, even though they died, not having received the promise on this world, in this life, but they did receive what God had prepared for them, and the same goes for you and I. We'll not receive all the promises that God gives to us, but we will receive them in the glories, and so in heaven. So tonight, let's look at these verses, and just a simple outline, a simple breaking down of the verses. And if I was going to teach a Bible class on this, this is pretty much how I'd try to break it down for understanding. and just notice some things. And the subject, of course, is faith. All of Hebrews 11 is about faith. These all died in faith. There's the passing. They lived their life, they served their God, and they died. And the Scripture says they died in faith. That is a great statement. I put here in the notes what an epitaph that would be to have on your tombstone, is that you died in the faith. That you died according to the Word of God and the work of the Lord. Of course, this is the only way really to die in faith. There's been a lot of people that die outside of faith, and we have that pictured to us, and we'll look at that in a moment. But this statement here that they died in faith shows their position. It means they were believers. They accepted God. They accepted the way of God. They accepted the plan of God. And even though they were walking with the Lord, and as God directed them and guided them in their pathway, they didn't receive the end result of it. They didn't see the far-reaching effect of what God was doing in their life. They died, but yet they died in the faith. And they had an eternity to be with the Lord and to be with God. Now, to die outside of faith means you die and go to what the Scripture tells us is a place called hell. And so we either die in faith or we die out of faith. I'd rather it be said of me that I died in the faith and have that testimony that God loved us and God, we loved Him. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter number 16, which is a very familiar passage of Scripture, back in Luke chapter 16, Jesus gives us a view or a picture of two men, one dying in the faith, one dying out of the faith. In Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And this is not a parable. This is it was an incident that took place, because the Bible says there was a certain man. And there's a man that was rich, and he had all the things of life that was good for him. But the Bible said he died. And when he died, the Scripture says that in hell he lifted up his eyes and he was in torment. But there's another man mentioned also in that passage in Luke 16, and his name is Lazarus. And the Bible says that Lazarus also died, and he was carried to the bosom of Abraham, which we understand is not literally heaven, but it was that Abrahamic bosom, or that part of the unknown world and the unseen grave, Sheol, and that one day was taken into heaven when Jesus came forth victorious in resurrection. But one man died and went to the glories of the Lord. One man died and went to the agonies of hell. And so that's a picture. You either die in faith or you die out of faith. There's no in-between ground. There's no perhaps or chance that maybe there's something else. And so these folks in Hebrews chapter 11, their position was that they died in faith. And thank God for that testimony. The Bible tells us here that this faith indicates that they stayed true. They continued. Notice there in that verse, verse 13, these all died in faith. It shows a persistency in their personal life, that they were walking by faith, they were living by faith, they were serving by faith, and when it's all said and done, they died in faith and lived for the Lord. They continued to live in the faith up to the very end of their life. And I've got some verses here that we know and are very familiar verses. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and for joy of faith." Here, as they continued in their life, they continued in their faith, they worked the work of God, it gives us an idea that they had that confidence, and they continued as Paul did, and in the joy of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. Paul tells this young preacher, he says, "Take heed to thyself unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." To continue in the work of the Lord, to continue in the faith that God has given unto us. And then, of course, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, 15, 16, how that Paul deals with how that Timothy had known the Scriptures even from a child, and that he was to continue in those things. Continue the things which has learned and been assured, knowing how that they learned them, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What is literally being said here is just continue in the faith that God has given unto us. Paul says that he continued. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith, or I have continued and kept the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we find that these that have been spoken of, and those that will be in the next verses that we'll read in just a week or so of Jacob and Isaac and again of Abraham, they died in the faith having the promises of God, but they did not receive the promise. But they did not lose their faith. They stayed true unto the walk of the Lord. You know, we die as we live. As a person lives, that's the way he's going to die. And for the most part, a good example is found in Numbers chapter 31, right down here at the bottom of the page. I said faithless man Balaam made the statement that he wanted to die the death of the righteous. He made that statement in the book of Numbers. But in his life, he did not live the life of the righteous. And so we live and we die the way we live. And that's just a principle that God gives us throughout the Scripture. Verse number 13 again. And this is a fairly long verse. And it tells us here that these folks had patience, having or not having received the promises. I don't know about anybody else, but I realize in my own personal life that I am very impatient. I want things yesterday or the day before. And I try to work on that, but my personality is that when I want to do something, I want to do it now. When I want to buy something, I buy it now. When I want to have something given that I want to do, I want to do it now. Don't want to wait. Don't want to put it off. But we must learn patience in the work of the Lord, because not everything is now. God is not the instant fast food type God that we want Him to be. Sometimes the Lord tells us to stand back and be still. Sometimes the Lord tells us to stop and watch what He has to do. But these folks, as they traveled and walked their life, the Bible says they, not having received the promise, they lived and died without seeing God fulfill the promise that He gave to them. Abraham, a good example. Abraham did not see the end result of what God told him his seed would be. God told Abraham, said, your seed's going to be we noticed this last week, your seed's going to be as the stars of the sky. That's that spiritual seed. And your seed also is going to be as the sand of the seashore. That's that physical seed. But as God told that to Abraham, the only thing that Abraham had to look upon was a physical seed that he got ahead of God and produced in Ishmael, and that promised seed, which was in Isaac. But God said, your seed is going to be the multitudes and going to be more than can count, innumerable. Well, Abraham did not see the fulfillment of that. But he died in the faith. He died believing God. He died understanding that the Lord had promised him, and somewhere down there in the future, he would see the blessings that God had promised him. They lived, died without seeing that fulfillment of the promise. This verse here does not mean that they would not receive the promise. It just means they didn't receive it on this side of their death. They received it on the other side. Can you imagine the blessings that Abraham had when he entered the glories of the Lord? Can you imagine Isaac and Jacob and all those patriarchs of the Old Testament that served God and lived for God? And here they're listed and named in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Can you imagine how that the Lord had given them, and now in the afterlife they're seeing the promises of the Lord? You know, the devil, he always tempts us. And the devil tries to keep many believers from keeping the faith. He says, well, you ought to do it now. You ought to have it now. God's lied to you. And he always tries to substitute that which is artificial for that which is genuine and real. Look in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 23, right here in my Bible. It's on the same page. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Holding fast the profession of our faith. It means to hold on to what God has given to us. Because the Bible says, for He is faithful that promise. Thank God for the faithfulness of the Lord. If He gave a promise, we may not see it fulfilled. But if He gave a promise in His Word, then it will be fulfilled somewhere in the future. Verse number 36 of Hebrews chapter 10, just a few verses on down. It says, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And so there's patience in faith. Faith believing and faith serving is that faith that is patient to follow after God, even though we don't understand what God's doing in our life. Can you imagine Abraham when he left his family? They said, Abraham, where are you going? Abraham said, I don't know where I'm going. Well, what are you going to do, Abraham? I don't know what I'm going to do. For the Bible says Abraham went out not knowing where he went. He was led of God. He accepted the plan that God had for his life. And he didn't know the end result of it, but he was faithful. He didn't know what God was going to do out there years in the future. He didn't realize all the turns and the crooks of the road that God had for him, but he was patient in his faith, and when he died in the faith, he didn't receive every promise that God gave him, but he still had his faith. And thank God tonight we can die in the faith, believing the Lord and trusting Him for all that He has promised us in His Word. We have many, the Bible calls them great and precious promises. There's many promises in God's Word. Some of them we have experienced. Some of them we have not. But does that mean we lose our faith? Does that mean that God is not faithful? Does that mean that God will not do it? Does it mean that God will not perform what He said He would do? No, we just continue on and strive and struggle in the world that we are living in, and understanding that the devil always comes by and he'll sit down beside us and he'll tempt us to say that you know, God's not going to do what He said He would do. It's really impossible. It's just physically, it just can't be done. And the devil will come along and he'll try to get us to falter in our faith. And he'll substitute something. But I'm glad to thank the Lord. We can be patient. We can follow Him. And that He will supply everything that He said He would do. So that's the patience of faith. Verse number 13 again. Here's the perception of faith. Here's the perception or the looking. The Bible says in verse 13, having seen them afar off. We look for the blessings of God, and they're still a long ways off. We perceive them, we see them, we know they're there, but we have not grabbed a hold of them as yet. Faith has good vision. Faith gives us a far-sightedness that nothing else can give us. We can look and can look out before us and can believe what God has told us in His Word. That's why when we see what's taking place in our world and in our country, when we see what's happening around us, we do not lose our faith. It establishes us in the belief of what God has given us in His Word, that He has told us certain things would take place and certain things would happen. And our view and our perception, faith, makes us realize that God has promised certain things. Now, we may not see it all come to pass, but it will happen. We may not see it happen in our lifetime, but what God has said in His Word that would take place, it will happen. And that is the perception of our faith. We see it afar off. Right now, you and I, as people of the Lord, we see heaven a long distance off. But we see heaven. We know it's out there. How do we know that? Somebody says, preacher, I want you to prove to me that there is a heaven. That's where faith comes in. I can't prove to anyone other than what God says. And so that same individual say, well, just prove to me this book is true. There are things that we have to believe by faith. There are things that we have to believe not to explain or to explain away or to get all the detail, but just believe what God said. And so these folks, in verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. The perception was that they knew they were out there and they knew God would deliver and God would give to them exactly what He said He would do. And you know what? Tonight, Abraham's seed is as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the seashore, innumerable, physically and spiritually. God has given to Abraham the promise that He told him that would be, and Abraham did not grasp it. Abraham did not have it in his lifetime, but he saw it afar off. And he did that, and that's the great faith of Abraham. Not only did he leave Ur of the Chaldees by faith, not knowing where he was going, but God gave him direction on his pathway that he could know where he was going to spend eternity and that he's going to be with God. And that perception was that he saw it afar off. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul talks about our eyes of understanding being enlightened. Eyes of understanding. There's many words in the Scripture that's interesting, how that it brings it down to something that we can understand. We know what eyes are for. Eyes are for seeing. And Paul says that God would give us eyes of understanding. And then that those eyes would be enlightened. The word enlightened means that God would shine a light upon it. I remember reading the biography of John Jasper, the old colored preacher back Civil War times. When the Queen of England would come to America, she wouldn't go to the big church. She went to hear John Jasper preach. John Jasper could not read. He could not write. He had no formal education. But everywhere John Jasper went, he went preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had one of the most interesting churches of all the South. He had church there that not only was it for the slaves, that's where it was started for, but it became so popular and his preaching became so popular in the area that all of a sudden the slave owners would come and they'd start going to John Jasper's church. And half of the county would be there to hear old John Jasper preach. And somebody said, John, how do you get your messages? You can't study well. You don't read well. How do you get your message? And he said, well, when I reads what little I can read, God just puts a light on it. And I begin to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? That worked. It worked for him. The book about John Jasper. You ought to read it. Look it up on the internet, whatever. John Jasper, one of the great preachers of days gone by. God used him, and he said, God just puts a light on it. And here Paul says that God may open our eyes of understanding and be enlightened, that we could see, that we could look upon Him. That's the perception of faith. Now, I know probably John Jasper didn't have all of his doctrine straight. He probably didn't have everything in order like you and I think it ought to be. But I'll tell you what, God used that man. And God blessed him and God gave him a ministry that no one else could do. And as I said a while ago, when the Queen of England came to America, she went to John Jasper's church. And they said, why do you go there? She said, because I hear something from God when I go to that church. Brother, that makes a difference. Praise the Lord. So there is a perception of faith. Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And he, should be, saw it and was glad. How did he do that? By faith. Abraham's day, he didn't grasp it. He died in the faith. But Jesus said Abraham saw it. And when he saw it, he was glad. How did he see it? He saw it with the eyes of faith, his eyes being enlightened and opened. Again, verse number 13. There's so much in this verse. It says, and were persuaded of them. These that died in the faith, they did not receive the promises that God had given. They saw them afar off, but they were persuaded of them. They knew that what God had told them would be true. They were persuaded. They lived by their conviction. They lived by their faith in God. They were persuaded. They were convicted of certain things. Faith is our persuasion. I believe every one of us tonight ought to have some kind of persuasion of our faith. If faith does not move you to do something, then it is not faith. If faith does not move you to live for God, then it's not the right kind of faith. If faith does not move us to become a child of God, then there's something lacking. And so there is a persuasion. The Bible says here, they didn't receive the promises. They saw them afar off, but they were persuaded of them. They were convinced that it was going to happen. They were convinced that it would be right. They were convinced that God was going to do exactly what He told them that He would do. So there's the persuasion. Verse 13 again. I said it's a long verse. Has a lot of little phrases in here. The next phrase in verse 13 says, and embraced them. Not only did they not receive them, they saw them afar off. They were persuaded. But the Bible says here that these embraced what they saw. They took it to themselves. I mentioned a little bit this morning about our greetings. The word here, embrace, means basically to greet. It means basically to say hello. It means to draw someone to yourself. It's not the cold, formal greeting that so many people have, but it's a warm, hearty reception. And these folks embraced what God had promised them. They saw it a long way off. They might not live long enough to experience it, but they still embraced it. I may not live long enough to experience all that God has given us in the Scripture, but I certainly do believe it. I certainly want to embrace what God has promised us. And so these folks that died in the faith, they died in faith. There's a lot of things here in this verse 13 that's good. All of these things are good that is given here concerning. And the Bible says here they were persuaded of it, they saw it, they received it, and now they embrace those things. Look at verse 13 now into verse 14. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that saw such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In these last words of verse 13 and verse number 14, we find here the confession of their faith. They confessed. The very first thing here, after that they embraced, it says, and confessed. They took it to themselves. They had a good reception of God's Word, and they confessed that they were strangers. They come to a realization that there's nothing down here for me. They came to an understanding that they were strangers and they were pilgrims. They were just passing through. What's the old song? I am a wayfaring stranger. I'm just passing through this world of sin, world of sorrow. And these folks that are spoken of here in Hebrews chapter 11, in this faith chapter, it tells us here that they confessed they were strangers, they were pilgrims. They did not live for the right now. They did not live for the here and now, but they lived for the hereafter. They lived for that which was in the future. And they confessed. They understood. They not only believed it, not only embraced it, but they confessed to those around them, we're just pilgrims passing through. Abraham understood that he was just a pilgrim. Isaac and Jacob understood they were just pilgrims. They were strangers in the land, and God had called them out of a particular place and was going to put them in a new land, and they were strangers. They understood that, but they declared it plainly. Verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I'm just passing through, but I'm looking for a country. I may not have no home on this side. I may not have anything now, but I'm looking for something far better. I'm looking for that which is beyond the sunset. I'm looking for that that is just around the corner." They were speaking and they declared plainly. And one of the characteristics of faith is to speak plainly. I believe we ought to speak plainly. I believe we ought to tell people plainly about the things of the Lord. Never double talk. Never a backing up talk. But speak plainly. I believe it helps us to do that in whatever situation that we find ourselves in, is just to declare plainly. People may not agree with what we say we believe, but they ought to know what we believe. People may not agree with us on all the things that we do, but they ought to know what we do and know the why behind it. I was talking this afternoon with Brother Solomon about some folks that I had talked to about his ministry and trying to help him with the changing from the mission board to our church and the receiving of the funds. And I was talking to an individual about that on the phone, and I just made a very pointed statement. And Solomon said, "Preacher, did you say that?" I said, "Yeah, you may not get any support out of them, but I said it." And so we need to speak plainly. And by the way, he does get support from them. And so we find that when there are statements that need to be made, then just make the statement. When things need to be done, just do it. When things are right, go about it and do it. Go on and pass off the scene and do something else. And so here the Bible says that these folks that hadn't received the promise, and they did all these things, they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims, but they were looking for a country. They're passing around. They're going back, forth, to and fro, but they're looking for a country. Now, what does a country represent? A country represents a homeland. A country represents a place where somebody can say, "This is what I am." We here in America, we have a homeland. We have a country. All the other countries in the world, those folks, many, many people, everywhere, they are attached to their country. And if you want to defeat a people, then you defeat their idea of a country. And so these that died in faith, they were pilgrims, they were strangers, they were passing through, but they looked for a country. And we find that they look for a city. We'll notice that in just a moment. And so they declared plainly, "We don't have anything to speak of, but we're looking for a country. God's promised us we're going to be a people. God's promised us we're going to be a land." Now, Abraham had no idea when God spoke to him in Ur of the Chaldees, back there in what we know of today as Babylon, in that area of Iran and Iraq, and that particular land of portion of the world. Abraham had no idea that God was going to make him and his seed a prosperous, wonderful country other than the promises God gave him of how big it would be. You and I tonight, we see a little spot on the map. It looks narrow and it's long and it's bordered by enemies all the way around it. And on the western side is the Mediterranean Sea. The northern part is in the broader scope of things, is what the Bible calls the Great Bear. We know it today as of Russia. That's spoken of in the book of Ezekiel. Gog and Magog, they have the enemies to the far east of the Chinese and the Oriental countries. And here's a little country called Israel. They're looking for a country. Well, God made them a people, and God gave them a land. Abraham didn't see it. He saw it afar off. He believed it. He embraced it. He grasped it. And he declared it. And that's what exactly these verses are talking about. Now notice verse number 15. And we'll be done here in just a moment. Verse number 15. Here's the peril. Here's the danger. "And truly," the writer says, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out. Now that's Ur of the Chaldees for Abraham. If they had been mindful, the word mindful there means if they were sentimental toward it, a close relationship to it. If they were mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse number 15 says they could have had the opportunity to not believe God, not accept the promises of the Lord, not to embrace them, and he could have gone back to where he came from. If they had been mindful of that country. But they realized that country wasn't as good as the country they was looking for. Even though they hadn't found it, even though they didn't experience it, it's far better than what they left. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, what I have now is far better than what I left. What I have in my life, what I have in my soul is far better than what the world would ever give. Satan never gives up his fight for us to turn back. Satan never gives up that fight upon us, that struggle upon us, and that pressure upon us to turn back. Once we embark in the life of faith, you can rest assured you have an enemy that's on your doorstep every day. You have an enemy that's on your shoulder every day. You have an enemy that's beside you, before you, behind you, and he's trying his best for you to turn back and go back to that country. But by faith, we know that we have a better country. By faith, we understand. Romans 12:2, turn over there. Another familiar scripture. Romans 12:2. We usually quote 12:1 and 2 together, but let's just look at verse number 2 of Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does the devil work on more than anything else? On our minds. Buddy, he'll come. You can have a blessing from the Lord and the devil's right there to snatch it away. He's like that in Matthew, God gives some parables. And one of the parables is that the birds came and snatched the seed away. Well, the devil, he's just like that. Every time for the child of God, every time we have something good for the Lord, he's there to dampen our spirit. But oh, thank God, we have a better country. And may our faith hold true and hold strong, that we will not give up in the race, in the fight, in the battle, but that we will stay true and we'll embrace and we'll give out gladly and declare plainly the word of the Lord. So if they had a mind to, they could have gone back to that country if they had an opportunity to have returned. Verse 16. But now, verse 15 is what they could have done. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country. Here's the reference, country. They had a country, now they've got another country. They had a place, now they've got a better place. Well, I'm glad we got a better place. Praise the Lord, a place called heaven. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Verse number 16 is a tremendous verse. Here is the faith that's preferred. They desire a better country. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible tells us, I got the wrong scripture there. I got the right verse. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Satisfaction with this world means that we're not living by faith. If we're satisfied with status quo, if we're just satisfied by the things that we have from this world, then our faith is not energized. Our faith is not active. But we must have a preference to know that there's something better than what we've got right now. If this is the best there is, we're in trouble. If right now is the best that we'll ever have, Well, we're in a mess. But now don't forget, right now is the best that the unregenerate person has. This is the best they'll ever have. We've got a better country. We've got a better place. We've got a better land. Abraham looked for that city, that place, that abode, that country whose builder and maker was God. May we never be satisfied with the world. And then we have a please here from God. I love this part. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Faith makes us acceptable to the Lord. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. I mean, it's just simply impossible. What is it? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so the preference here is that we desire faith and it's pleasing to God. God's not ashamed of us. Have you ever had anybody say, well, I bet his parents is ashamed of him? And I remember my mom and dad said, son, don't you make us ashamed of you. They meant, don't you go out and do something that we'll have to be ashamed of. Well, God says here concerning these, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, God says in verse number 16, now they desire a better country, and that the heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Very pleasing. Wiest Word Study. It's a book called Wiest Word Studies. I wrote here. He gives this statement. I put it down. I want to read it to you. The Greek word translated called. The Bible says God's not ashamed to be called their God. The Greek word translated called has the idea of adding an additional name to the name one already has, namely a surname. Thus, God is not ashamed to be the surname by these patriarchs of faith. He's known as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God's not ashamed to be identified with these people of faith. You know, I believe tonight God's not ashamed. If we are believers, if we have faith in the Lord, I don't believe He's ashamed for us to say He's our God. I don't believe He's ashamed for us to say we are of God and He's the God that we believe and we serve. And there is a prospect. Verse number 16, the last part of it, for He hath prepared for them a city. They looked for it. They never did see it at that time. They perceived it a long way off. They embraced the promise. They declared the word. And God said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prepare for them a city. I'm going to prepare what they're looking for. And God gave them that particular place. You know, Jesus is the best builder there ever was. John 14, Jesus, He tells us that He's going to prepare a place for us. And where He is, there we may be also. John 14, there, Jesus becomes that builder of a city. For the child of God, for the believer, for those of us that have faith, that we fall in their footsteps. Revelation tells us of the great city that come down from God out of heaven. Turn real quickly and we'll read these verses. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 10. When you get down to the last book and the last chapters, you know it's about over. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 10 through 12, John says, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and was high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names thereon are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now there's the heavenly vision given in descriptive terms of what John saw. He said, I saw a city come down from God out of heaven. It had 12 gates or 12 openings, 12 doors. And there at every door was the names of the 12 tribes. Later on you read about that city. It had 12 foundations. And in that foundation you have the names of the 12 apostles. And so this is the city that Abraham looked for. And one day we will experience. We haven't seen it yet, but by faith we embrace it. We take it to ourselves. Look at verse number 16. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city, the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are of it are equal. Pretty good sized city. 12,000 furlongs is a little over 4,000, 3,500 miles maybe. It's 3,500 miles that way. It's 3,500 miles that way. And it's 3,500 miles that way. It's a cube. And John said, I saw it. And here's the foundation of it. And here's what it looked like. Look at verse number 18. And the building and the wall was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper. And it gives all those different foundations there. And verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street, notice that's a singular word there. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. What we cherish in this life, we'll walk on in that life. Everything's a little different perception when we get to heaven. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and all those listed in these verses, they lived by faith. They died in the faith. They obtained great faith. And they could have gone back if they'd have so desired, if they'd enjoyed that country, but they had a better country. They had a better place. And God gave them a city. And God has given us a city. God has given us a better country. And God's not ashamed to be called our God. So the next time you think about the God of Abraham, just remember God's not ashamed to be called that because Abraham had great faith. The God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You'll hear some of these Orthodox Jews, they'll talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They know where they came from. They know where their stock lies. They know where they're physically, that sand of the sea. They know where they came from. They came from Abraham. Well, I believe we ought to have just as much perception spiritually as a spiritual child of God, that I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And God, as He was not ashamed to be called their God, I don't believe He's ashamed to be called our God. It's all by faith. And God bless His Word and the reading and these few comments that that are here. So many other things we could deal with. But these three or four verses tonight, and then you'll notice next Sunday, or the next, I'm sure next Sunday we'll do this. You'll notice in chapter 11, the next verse, it tells you once again, you go right back and you deal with another portion of the faith of Abraham. Abraham is one of the great characters of the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, there's more told about Abraham and Moses than anybody else. So next Sunday we'll look again at the faith of Abraham. It's a different time of his life now. He's not leaving Ur of the Chaldees. He's not traveling around too much. He's sort of got settled down looking for God's city. But now he's got a son. And that son's Isaac. And God said, you take your son, your only son, and you offer him, you kill him, the place where I tell you. And Abraham moved with faith. No wonder God said, I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. Let's stand together tonight.